Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
All right, y'all, big news. My new stand-up special, Live and Alive, drops Friday, October 24th, right here on my YouTube at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We shot it at Comedy on State, Madison, Wisconsin. There were 2 sold-out shows. The crowds were unbelievable, and I'm telling you honestly, it's my best work, all right? This special is special. I'm really proud of it. It's self-produced, it's self-funded, it's self-released, and straight from me to you the way it should be. And here's the best part. During the premiere, I'll be live in the YouTube comments with you guys, hanging out the whole time. I'll answer questions. I want to watch it all unfold in real time with you guys, like we're there together that night, all right? So make sure you subscribe to my channel, hit that reminder, and join me on release night. This one means a lot to me, and I would love to experience that first watch with you guys. Friday, October 24th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Live and Alive, right here on my YouTube. Subscribe now and don't miss it.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all your social media, RyanSickler.com. Thanking you guys for watching this show, supporting this show all these years. We've been going now. I'm trying to think about it. We started in January of 2019. So thank you. Thank you very much. I love my life. I love doing this with you guys. And if you got to have more, then you got to have the Patreon. Listen to me. It's the Honeydew with y'all, and it's the wildest show on the internet. And our guest today can testify to that. So if you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. If you've already sent it, send it again. Bump it to the top. We would love to do your story. All right? That's the biz. You know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights and always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. I am very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Wolf.
Let's go! Back to the Honeydew. By the way, just as somebody who's heard those Patreon stories and has been in here, those are wild. It's without a doubt more consistent than Netflix.
Thank you.
Without a doubt.
For $5.
Crazy the entertainment you get. And I'm not, guys, I don't get any money from Ryan Sickler saying this shit. It is the best $5. You're ever going to spend. Some of those stories, dude, I will go home and I'll tell my wife. And you know what she says to me? Why do you do that show?
Because where else are you hearing that?
I was like, are you kidding me?
Where else are you hearing?
These are real. Because if some of the stories, dude, if they were in a movie, I'd be like, come on, man.
100%. You'd be like, there's no way that really happened. Nah, you'd be like, nah. Yeah, it did. It did.
Yeah, a couple of them.
And also the fact that, like, you know, we're going to have Segura do one, which this is not a best of episode with Josh this time. We had planned one for Tom Segura also. But to shock you guys, you're the two people that send me the most fucked up shit on the internet nonstop. To the point now when you guys will send me a video like you did yesterday, I'm like, saw it today. Because you have affected my algorithm where you don't need to send them to me anymore. They're showing up now. Heavy too. They're just showing up heavy in my feed.
Here's what's crazy and how normalized they've become. I send the video. Here's what the conversation was afterwards. You write, saw it today. The question I had was, are those diapers? And you said, nope, underoos.
Yeah, bro.
Just the fact that we were having that conversation, matter of fact.
It's in my day now because of all this. So go watch it, subscribe. Yeah. But before we get into your story today, please plug everything, anything you'd like.
Well, I do a podcast with my son called Hey Man that we are changing. We're rebranding and next month. I don't know when this comes out, but next month. And we're going to call it Generation Wolf. We're going to get back into interviewing people about their childhood we did with you.
About that 2-hour podcast you did with me where I cried 3 times and you're like, hey, guy, we don't have the audio for that. I'm like, wait, you don't have the video. We can still release the audio. You're like, no. We got the video. We don't have the audio. And hey, you know what? It happened here. It happened here, too. It did.
She did not know what she was doing. But we're getting back into that. We're going to rebrand the Generation Wolf. I have another special coming out. It'll be out August 12th. It's called the Campfire Special.
And where are they going to find that?
On my YouTube channel. You know, the special I released 8 months ago passed over 1 million. All my specials over 1 million. But this special, because I've gotten really back into playing guitar, like I've been alternating some straight story specials and then music and stories and then just stories. And this one is like you're sitting around a campfire. Dude, this is maybe my funniest special. And I'm doing things that
shoot?
At Zanies in Nashville.
Hell yeah. We love Zanies in Nashville.
But I did things and Brian Dorfman, dude. Great dude. I did things like I'd been writing songs for a Spinal Tap country band called Hard Country.
Okay.
And me and the two guys from a band called Little Big Town, they came and joined me. And we wrote song. We have a song called, Why Is Your Titty on Your Back? It's Why Is Your Titty on Your Back? It's so fucking funny, dude.
It's all right. Listen, I'm going to be in my head all day today. I'm just going to be, Why Is Your Titty on Your Back?
It's such a good song, dude.
I'm going to make my own lyrics up after
it's
that.
It's amazing. So when we did it, we had Chelsea Lynn on. Mm-hmm. I wrote a song for she and I. And then I did some songs with Jacob, but and then stories are in between there. But this is it's like an hour 15. I had Jeremiah Watkins and Avery Pearson started a production company. Mm-hmm. And so they did it. It looks great. I'm so fucking happy. So if you guys get a chance, go check that out on my YouTube page. And just touring, man, comedianjoshwolf.com. Jacob and I tour around together. He's somebody, he does 15 minutes. Jay Moore asked me, he goes, how much time does he do? I go, 15. And he goes, how much time does he have? I go, 2.5.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I'm saying? But I've just, it's been so much fun, man. And I told you earlier before, I've never been happier and more peace personally. And I've never been such a clean slate creatively. I really don't know what I want to do moving forward. I know I want to perform, but I don't know what I want to talk about. So I'm pretty excited to see. I tour so much. I write so much.
I also like hearing that too. Like a lot of times, you know, comedians, I'm sure authors, whatever, you get to a point where like, I don't know what I want to talk about. And instead of being excited about the any opportunity out there, you freak out about, I don't know what it's going to be, and you shut down or, you know, you clam up. So I like hearing that because I'm in the same spot. I feel the same way.
I write so much. So I have this special. I have other material I'm just going to release. Or I don't know I'm going to put out another story special. I have all the stories lined up for it. I could shoot it. But I think I'm just going to release. It's going to force me to do something different. Because as long, if I release it, I'm not telling that story.
Get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. What do I want to do? So I'm, I can't wait, man. And we'll see. I might be like, this was the biggest fucking mistake in my life, but I don't think so. I don't think
so. But as we know, highlights don't come without the lowlights. So talk to me about taking Jacob out on the road and like what was the decision to say yes to that? Because as a parent and a businessman, I know you weighed your pros and your cons. What made you say yes to that? And actually, how old was he when he first when you first did this? Well, not just dabbled, but where you're like, okay, we're going to do this.
He was coming on the road with me just and selling merch. And we would do Q&As every now and then. And because so much of my material had been about him, my fans knew him or felt like they knew him.
Right.
And so the Q&As were amazing. And he was so natural. And we have such a cool shorthand. And truthfully, dude, I wrote out pros and cons. And I could have listed 100 cons and only had one pro. And as long as that pro was, I get to spend time with Jacob, it didn't matter what the cons were. It really didn't. Whatever it was going to do with my business, you know, how it might affect it, anything. You don't get to spend, you still have a young kid. People have grown adult children. You know, I don't want to fucking hang out with you. And so to be able to.
Oh, I'm in that window now. Yeah. Like I'm in the window where I got to wait out to whatever, next 20 years, but maybe 30. She'll come back around like, hey.
Yeah, because they think you're dumb as fuck.
I don't know shit right now.
And so.
Which also is a nice, honestly, I like it because it's a bit of a, you know, grounding. It's a humble check where like, you don't know shit. I'm like, you know how much I know, blah. And then I'm like, I don't know. So he asked me a question. I'm like, let's look it up.
Yeah, he'll say things to me and I'll agree with and I'll have to Google it. I'm like, what did he mean by
it? Yeah.
It's funny though. He gets our pop culture references. You know why? Family Guy.
Okay.
He's like, I know that song. I'm like, how do you know that song? He's like, fucking Family Guy.
Yeah.
Crazy. But so just to be able to tour with him and I think I don't know if I told you this, but he's been touring with me for like 3 years and I like to fuck with him. I have yet to let him get his own hotel room. I make him sleep with me every night and I keep telling him I think I'm going to name this tour One Room, Two Beds. He was like, I don't like that. I'm like, maybe, you know, the one bed,
one room, one bed,
one room,
two beds yeah, is a two better beds tour. Better than one. Two beds yep, a better tour.
For sure. But so we started touring together and, you know, I've had to walk a delicate line with him, especially, because I've been pretty open about, you know, my drug use. And when I say drug use, it's weed, shrooms, acid. I'll do a little ketamine every now and then, but besides that, sober, you know.
Yeah. Other than that.
Besides that, I'm clean as a whistle. Clean as a whistle, man. Body's in temp.
Yeah.
So
I could drive right now. Maybe not on acid.
Nah, I think I might be able to drive on not
you
can
fly
either.
A spaceship on acid.
Fuck yeah, dude. But these are all things that I've been really open. And he's a weed smoker. And
how old is he?
28.
So 25 is when he starts going on the road with you? You said 3 years. Okay.
And I wasn't a dude who was you know, big into smoking weed with him when he was younger. But I always thought, well, I would have my dad had a beer with me. What's the difference?
And this is you and it was you. It was Beth, Jacob, myself. Yeah. We all went to, you guys invited me to, here was when it first opened, it was Lowell's Cannabis Cafe. Mm-hmm. And I watched your son, who was 20, whatever, two at the time, mm-hmm. smoke a joint. And I thought, man, I always thought I would never do that with my kid, you know, until they were like maybe a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. If it's going to be federally legal, I don't have any fucking say over this 21-year-old who can legally drink. I would have a beer with my daughter at 23 mm-hmm. or whatever. Why wouldn't I smoke a joint if it's a legal thing? So it did change my mind on like, well, once it's a law, like you also have no control over that shit anymore, bro.
If I'm smoking a joint, there was a while why I would smoke. I'd be like, I'm not going to smoke with you. But we were across the table smoking.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And the truth is, I started to think, if I said yes to alcohol and no to the weed, what am I saying about the weed?
Mm-hmm.
I don't, because I'm not a dude who thinks weed is worse than booze. So,
right, no, I think booze is worse than weed. Yeah.
Right. So what would I be saying? So we would smoke some weed together. You know, I do mushrooms every Friday night late show. Mm-hmm. And he did that a couple times with me.
By the way, thank you for the mushrooms.
How good are those?
Phenomenal, bro.
So
it inspired me. So it was the clip I saw was Something's Burning, Bert's clip with Lunell.
Yeah.
And she said, she's just smiling ear to ear. And she said, Josh Wolf gave me these mushrooms. And she said, I just took a little bit of the dust and had it before I came here. And when I heard that, I was like, you know what? Damn, if I'm not doing that with my motherfucking Sunday, I don't want to go blitz. I fucking took all that dust. I rolled it in a little peanut butter ball. Boom. Bro, what a wonderful,
amazing,
what a wonderful Sunday I had. Man, I didn't know the trees were that green. I didn't even know they talked.
Crisp. You know? Yeah. Crisp. Everything's crisp as fuck.
40K.
Yeah. What filter?
Can I get my cameras to look like
this? Dude, they should do a filter that's just
a
mushroom.
They should have a shroom camera. They should have a shroom lens.
You know, I take like 3.5 grams before I go
inside.
It's no dust. That's not what I'm doing. Just so you know, I'm not sprinkling any fucking dust.
That was not my Sunday, bro.
I'm taking 3.5 grams and I'm going on stage, dude. So it's, but, they, and there was like one night, this was the last time he did him with me. So he.
Oh, so he would do that with
every,
you
for show. Like 4 weeks he did. You know, when you're a kid, he just assumed, well, my dad's taking this. I can take what he takes. He considered. I was like, dude, I get 30 years of buildup. This is not.
Tolerance. Yeah. Mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And my brain is like, don't freak out.
We know what this is.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were in the hotel room in our one room, two beds. And I was watching Impractical Jokers. And I was laughing like I had never seen the show in my life. Mm-hmm. Like it was the single, who thought of this? Like tears rolling down my face, laughing. And I look at him, he's under the covers. He was under the covers, weeping. I was Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But so I was
a grown man under there, weeping, crying. Yeah.
And the next morning he was like, I think I'm out of the mushrooms. Like, good idea. Yeah. That's probably a good call. But so not long after that, you know, he would, okay. One thing he would always say to me was like, cause we would talk about whatever drugs. And I'd say to him, dude, I have zero tolerance for cocaine. I have zero tolerance for meth. I've told him all these things. I have zero tolerance for you even entertaining that, especially now when that line of coke could kill you.
Kill you.
Right? Just you're like,
a bump.
Right? I think I want to try this. And I know it sounds hypocritical, but when I was trying it, you weren't dying from a bump.
Now, to overdose back then, you had to take so much of that drug that it fucking killed you.
You had to earn it.
Not a little. Yeah. You had to go for it. Not a little. No. And you're gone. No.
So
I feel bad all the time for these people that are ruled an overdose when really they were poisoned. They were murdered.
Yes.
They were killed. They did not take enough of said substance, whatever it is, to kill them. It was a poisoned substance that got them. Not that thing.
If I'm going to OD, I want to earn it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, dude, honestly, I've gotten a little older and I've gotten heartburn, right? You know how healthy I eat. I got so mad. I'm like, at least let me eat the fucking pizza. I'm getting heartburn from kale. Fuck this. Kale. Fuck you.
Look, I'm 52. I've never done cocaine. Let's just say when I hit 70, I'm like, I would like to fucking try it. A tiny little could fucking kill me. I don't even get to enjoy it. Can you get to have fun?
Can we make a pact? 80 years old.
Bro, if I make it to
heroin,
80, I will 100. I want opium. I want heroin. I want cocaine. Not all in the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, that's the last day. Yeah, you might as well have one foot over the grave.
You might come last so I can pop up one last day. Like, I told you how about it. Like,
up out of the coffin. Fuck you. Just done. Yeah. But I'm on record. 80 years old, I want to try it. Because you know why? Because they make it look so fun in the movies. Especially, well, the first half. The second half of the movie, not as fun. But, you know, when you're sucking dick for...
Yeah, I don't want to get that far. You know what I mean? I don't want to do that for anything, you know?
So...
But I want to ask you, too, because as we both know the road, like, you've got a very young man... And there's so many temptations on the road with the alcohol, the hard drugs, the fucking, the girls, all that shit. And I mean, look, I think honestly, again, being from Baltimore really helped me out because when I'm on the road, I have never in all the years, I've never left with a girl. I've never gone back to a lady's place, nothing. Because in my mind, you don't want to fuck me. I'm going to your place or you're coming to my room. And next thing I know, two dudes are showing up and I'm getting robbed and fucked up. And I just don't want any fucking part of it.
Can I tell you, all honesty, no jokes. It's why it's one room, two beds. It's why it's one room,
smart.
Two beds.
Okay.
Because he's not going out and doing an open mic where nobody knows him. People aren't, there's nobody throwing pussy at him, you know. Because of that, but he's in front of now room full of people who already love him. Young, handsome, too many temptations. And I just was like, this is going to keep him eye on the prize. So out of nowhere, Beth and I got a text from him one night when he was overseas where he basically was like, I'm an addict. I won't go into the specific text because it's pretty personal and I'm not sure he wants me to say exactly what it said, but it was like, because it did say in the text, I'm an addict. I'm a drug addict.
What made him get to that?
You could see in the text, he felt helpless and he felt like he was drowning. And I was like, what? And here's another thing. I go, what drug? And he said, coke.
And you hadn't seen him do it or anything?
Nothing. And here's his saving grace. He's always been a congested dude. Always runny nose. Always sniffle. Always. So it wasn't something that I picked up on. Looking back, I think I didn't want to see some of it. Because here's the thing, you know, as a parent, and you know, as somebody who's lied as a child, your parents want to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. But you're their kid. They want to believe you. So, and they don't want to believe any of the bad shit. So he was in London at the time. He flew back in, and right when he landed, we brought him here to a house. And he went in he left early, which wasn't something that.
Like a sober living or?
Yeah. We wanted him to, I didn't want him to be up at where they make you mango juice and, you know, where you're like, this is nice. I wanted him to be in a room with eight other dudes on a bunk bed, you know, and learning how to live without drugs.
Long had he been doing it?
2 years.
And so obviously the gram whole time you're on the road, a gram a day. God, is he testing it and shit?
He said yes.
He's fucking lucky.
Gram a day in Vegas.
That's fucking Russian roulette, bro.
You know, borrowing, stealing money.
And how's he getting it? Fans and shit are showing up.
He had
his own thing.
He would find it in Vegas. He had his own connect in Vegas. He didn't do it much on the road because he was like, I didn't think I could fool you. On the road, he was like, if I'm up until 6 a.m. in the one room, you're probably going to catch on. But he was doing a gram a day. And, you know, he told me later, he was like, you know, I was stealing money from you every weekend.
Cash. While selling the merch.
From the merch. He was like, I was just stealing money. And he was like, you ask mom. I was borrowing money for her for things that I didn't need. You know, I would say something like my rent or my car, or I need a new tire. And he was like, I stole a lot from you guys. But we had to put him in sober living. And it was like, you get caught also as a human. You don't want to make it about you. But I felt such enormous guilt about being so open about drugs and how I was okay with it. And what was my responsibility in his addiction, which was really brutal for me. And I'm just thinking about this now, dude. I think one of the reasons it was so brutal for me is because one of the things we all have our, who am I, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you wrote down who's Ryan Sickler, you would write down father. Mm-hmm. That would be somewhere near the top of the list.
That's top.
Right. Not only was at the top of my list, I've always considered myself to be a good parent. And it shook the core of who I thought I was. It was, and at the same time, I remember when my oldest son was in Afghanistan and we would call him on the phone. I remember the first time we called him and he could hear that I was nervous. This was the first time when he was at his base and he was like, hey, I'm gonna stop you right now. I'm nervous enough. Mm-hmm. I can't be comforting you. So whatever you got going on,
your shit together.
Put that shit to the side.
Yeah.
Because when we're
good
talking.
Good for him. That's mature.
He was like, when we're talking, I have to forget where I am.
Mm-hmm. That's what this is for.
That's this.
That's great.
Right?
That's fucking Wells, man. That's a fucking.
But also, right?
That's a point of view, isn't it?
But fucking A. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. He's waking up every day not knowing.
Shit's blowing up around me. I'm just trying to call you guys and check out for a few minutes. Don't be interviewing me about this shit.
Can I, on a separate side note, so when he comes home, we threw him a party. And he goes, hey, I made like a little video of my time in Afghanistan. Can I show it? And I was like, yeah. And there's a party with like children and like from 6 to 80, all in between, just people there to see Trevor come home. Like 10 minutes before the party, I go, let me see the video just to make sure. And it's like a picture collage of him and his friends and you know, landing in Afghanistan on the way to the base. And then it cuts to a video and you just see some Afghanis walking by a dry riverbed and then just carpet bomb. No Afghanis.
That's in the video. And he wants to show
that. And I go, hey, dude, we can't show that. And he goes, why not? I go, people died, right? He goes, yeah, but no blood. I go, no, we're not showing actual death at your welcome.
It's in Twitter. At your welcome home part.
Yeah. But his perspective had changed.
Yeah.
So much. Mm-hmm.
Like how that all of a sudden becomes tame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No blood. No,
there's no blood there. It's not gory. It's fine.
It's just, no
people. But souls are gone, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you see them.
You see it.
Yeah, but not really.
I mean, boot over there?
It's like a magic trick. They're there. They're not there. I say that because, you know, the other thing I really struggled with is this isn't about me. Whatever my responsibility may or may not be, your son is in a life crisis. And so it was a real struggle with my ego. And I think Beth would say the same thing about where our responsibility was in where he ended up. And it was brutal to question the part of you you're so proud of, what you're most proud of. Who my kids are, how I was as a parent, both Beth and I. And so for that to rock you was, and I'm not the only person that's had kids have to go to rehab. And I'm sure they've all struggled with the same fucking thing. So it was really rough. And he was angry at Beth and I for putting him there.
Oh, was he?
Still. He left early. He was like, I don't,
you can leave on your own at this place.
Sober living. You could.
Yeah.
And my deal with him was you leave, dude, but you're not coming home to a job. You're not coming home to me and you
to
on the road.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay.
That's not what you're coming
home
to.
That's a healthy boundary.
I couldn't be like, well, great. Let's go back out.
Yeah.
There are positive.
An addict's going to find whatever their addiction is, wherever the fuck they go. Gambling, prostitution, whatever.
It's going to morph into something. Mm-hmm. You know, Stephen Randolph actually really helped me because I called him and, you know, he's struggled with his own addiction and, but he helps people. And, maybe that's not something we put on there. I don't know if he wants.
Oh, are you kidding me?
He's out
Randolph
there about it.
Has told the fucking, right. He's told the wildest stories ever on the crab feast and everything. Okay. Oh yeah.
So, but I called him, he said, hey, this helped me a lot. He said, take whatever guilt you're feeling and whatever responsibility and flush it because an addict is an addict. He said, do you do drugs? And I said, yeah. He said, did your parents do drugs? I go, not one. He was like, you didn't force feed him. It's his choice. And have you done coke? And I said, yeah. I go, are you an addict? And I said, no. And he said, it's in him already. You know, me paraphrasing or whatever, but he was like, this is not your responsibility. An addict is going to find what they want to find. Mm-hmm. And that did help a lot, that perspective, you know, but it was like, it changed me. I was sober for 90 days. It changed my brain. It changed how I use drugs. I barely smoke weed anymore. I stopped for 90 days and I was like, it's weird for me to say that, dude, because for a while, dude, I had a show on Monday nights.
Yeah.
Where I would smoke 3 joints, take 200 milligrams of edibles and pop 3 grams of mushrooms and turn on the fucking camera. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of stuff, I really checked how I was, I don't glorify it as much. And I'm not out front with it as much. And he and I don't, my line is, yeah, I still don't think you should smoke weed. He does smoke weed. And as far as I know, he's not doing coke, but my line is like, we just can't do that anymore.
So when he leaves early, what happens? Does he get clean and sober? Or does he have to go back? Does he learn that it's not as easy as he thought? Or is he doing well? Or?
He is with the coke.
Or anything.
He's not, no coke, no booze for him.
So he left early and he stayed clean.
I
know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got a cousin.
But but I think so. I think so. Now he's still smoking weed and more than I'm comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But way better than doing coke because a gram a day, it's not like your habit goes down.
No.
And I told him, he was so mad. You know, he was like, I think I could have kick this without going in.
Richard Pryor's got, I'm going to mess it up, but it's always, I forget the year it is, but it's one of those old heads in the neighborhood. And they're like, man, you're addicted to this shit. He's like, I ain't addicted to this shit, man. I've been doing this shit for 20 years. That logic, you know, yeah, what I mean? Dude, like, what are y'all talking about? I've been doing this shit for 20 years. But
the idea, he was like, I could have just kicked it at the house. I'm like, oh, yeah, copy. Right, yeah, but right. He was
like
mad,
everyone,
man,
who's tried to kick it. Yeah.
Mad. And he's still mad.
It's not about kicking cocaine as much as it is about fighting that fucking addiction down. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, coke's your thing, but you're going to sit in the house and just try to talk yourself out of it. Good luck.
And coke, it leads just to terrible. Anybody who's done a bunch of coke and you're an addict, when you're an addict and doing coke, you're not a good person. You're stealing from people. Mm-hmm. You're lying. You know what he told me, which was so interesting? He said, you know what the hardest part of being an addict was? I said, what? He goes, all the lies I had to keep up with. Living that different life. I had to keep up. I was telling so many lies to live this secret life. It was fucking killing me. He said, that has lifted me more than not doing the coke all the time. But a gram a day is not a little. And he was doing it, you know, he would do it by himself. And he said he did it a couple. There was one time on the road. Here's one of the ways, like, I didn't want to believe it. We were in a city and somebody came into the room who worked there. Cause if he needed coke, you can always go into the kitchen. Somebody could find
everything it. You need is under that comedy club roof, or someone can get that.
It's in
you want pills, weed, coke. It's a little tap.
Yeah. Some guy came in and was like, hey, that guy with the long hair wanted some coke.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today for 10% off your first month.
And I was like, I think you get the wrong room. He was like, I don't think so. He's one of the comics. I'm like, well, it's just me and my son. So, you know, and he was like, oh. And I told Jacob, I'm like, this dude came in. And he was like, I don't know who that fucking guy is. That was the one time he said to me, he goes, I thought you were going to bust me then.
I mean, he's like, I don't know who you're talking about. He's like, nah, this guy right here. Nah, that's my son. He don't, yeah, this guy
well,
right
that's
here.
The guy.
He sent me out for it's Jacob, right?
Yeah, the guy with the long hair. The guy standing right there.
You're the guy that goes up there with you. You're like, nah, not my son.
Yeah. But I was so blinded by it, man. Yeah, it was so crazy. Because it was right in my face. He was like, that fucking guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jacob. He was like, nah, not me. I'm like, not him.
Oh, yeah. Shit, dude.
But I had never, it made me start to question things that I had done with my other kids. And it made me question my entire.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about
my entire life as a father. And did I really do good by these kids? It's a tough thing to question in yourself. The thing that you, like I said, that you're like, if everything else went away, I could hang my hat on this as a human. And to have someone go, maybe not, dude. Your kid's a coke addict and you do drugs in front of them.
I chose Function because it's the only health platform that gives me data most people never get and the insights to start doing something about it. Inside Function, you get access to test over 100 biomarkers from hormones to toxins to markers of heart health, inflammation, and stress. And for an additional fee, you can also access MRI and chest CT scans, all tracked in one secure place over time. It is a near 360 view to better see what's happening inside your body. And that's why top health leaders like Dr. Mark Hyman, Dr. Andrew Huberman, and Dr. Jeremy London are all behind Function Health. There's nothing the voice in your head obsesses over like your health. But with over 100 lab tests and insights, Function can help answer the questions like, why am I so tired all the time? How can I get better sleep? How do I know if my heart is healthy? I am literally going through this right now, okay? A Function membership gives you a comprehensive health check with results tracked over time. Getting blood work done through Function is the first step toward finding out what you're made of, helping you understand what it takes to live a healthier, longer life. I just went and had my blood work done. I just went and got all my labs. I just went and I'm still waiting for my results. I did my CT scan, 0%, but I'm looking at the inside of the heart too. So I'm waiting on all that. I'm doing all this right now. Listen, I'm 52. If you're getting up there, if you have health issues in your family, genetics, all of it, I'm telling you, try Function now. Learn more and join using my link. Function is a near 360 view to see what's happening in your body. And my first 1,000 listeners get $100 credit toward their membership. Visit www.functionhealth.com/honeydew or use gift code honeydew100 at sign up to own your health. Now, let's get back to the do.
Well, so do you think then, or did you think that parenting was like, you're just supposed to bat 1,000? You know what I mean? Like, is that where you were in your mind? Like, oh, if I fuck up here or whatever, then.
No, I don't think you ever bat 1,000. But when you think your behavior has damaged your child in such a drastic way, that's the thing. Going into parenting, you don't realize until you are a parent that your parents didn't know what the fuck they were doing. Mm-hmm. Especially with your first kid, you're like, I have to make a decision that I've never made before. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to roll the dice and you just do the best you can. And so I've always been, I mean, outside of your mom, I've thought there's, you know, no bad parents. No, I've always been.
I'm glad we can shatter that for you, brother. I'm glad we can bring you back down to earth.
I've always thought that people, it's not bad parents, they're doing the best they can. Mm-hmm. And some people aren't good at it, but they're still doing the best that they can. Mm-hmm. So I've always been okay with what.
But there's also some people, let's be honest, that aren't doing the best they can.
Yeah.
That's an excuse I think a lot of people use to be like, I'm doing the best I can. Then rational people say, hey, I know this person's a piece of shit, but they are doing the best they can. And then there are some times where you're like, no, they're fucking not.
Yeah, no, they're not.
No, they're not. They're not doing the best. If you're doing the best you can, you wouldn't be sleeping on that couch with a heroin fucking needle in your arm. That ain't the best you can do right now.
Not unless you're 80.
Get the fuck up. Yeah, bro. Can't wait. Get up and do the best you can. Be the best wherever you are. And the best of you is not that. It's not. For some people.
Yeah.
Some people genuinely are like, look, man, I had you when I was 18, bro. I'm doing the best I fucking can here. And I really am showing up and I am doing the best I can. That's different than just some loser parent, mom or dad being like, I'm doing whatever I can.
But some people are drug addicts and they have kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm not excusing it or I mean, maliciously, intentionally fucking this kid up.
Yes.
And so I never thought I was going to bat 1,000. Lord, I made a ton of fucking mistakes. I think as a parent, the thing I regret the most, but this was, and I remember, this is crazy that I kind of, not kind of, this is maybe the thing that I regret the most is not maybe, without a doubt, the thing I regret the most as a parent. I was single. I was raising the three kids, young. I made $1,000 a month. I lived in Hollywood. Time's tight, dude.
Yeah, you were stealing fucking...
Stealing food from Ralph's.
Making your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at Ralph's.
But I was eating a meal a day and whatever scraps the kids left, right? And I was still trying to do stand-up. And it was at one of those points where everything was going wrong. And I had a $5,000 gig. What's the Warren Miller is the guy who makes all the ski movies. And I had a $5,000 gig to do a live intro. I was going to be the host for this Warren Miller.
Okay. Right?
$5,000 is 5 months worth of money for me.
Yeah.
That is an enormous amount. That's one of those things where you're like, oh, okay. So if I'm not even as tight as I need to be for 3 months, I can pay rent and eat. That is an enormous check. And because the pressures of raising the kids and then still trying to do what we do was enormous. And I was on the phone and I was losing this gig. And Caitlin, my daughter, was so good with Jacob. And there were times where I just needed 2 seconds, but she was too small to pick him up. And I'd see him pick him up. And I was like, Kate, I'm on the phone. Kate, you can't pick him up. Don't pick him up, please. You're not strong enough. Kate, as I'm losing this gig, Kate, don't pick him up. And then I lose the gig. I hear a huge crack. I hear a wail out of Jacob that I'd never heard before. She had dropped him going out to the patio on the tracks.
Ooh, of the sliding glass door track.
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
right, fuck. Right across here. And you could see it. And obviously not proud of this and something I've had to work through. Still, I work through. It's the only time I've ever been physical with any of my kids, but I open-handed her in the back of the head. Do you know what rocked me again more than anything? Is that she trusted me. That trust got taken for a while. That was so, you know, they trust you to keep them safe.
Yeah.
And when you're the person that's making them unsafe, that has to rock their entire, that realization came to me in that instant. She wasn't hurt. It's not like but she was hurt. I could see in her eyes that the person that she, because the mom wasn't there. So now she's got me and I've always been Mr. Reliable, Mr. Trustworthy. You know, I'm going to take care of you. And to have that yanked, I could see it immediately fucked her up. It changed. Like I learned so much in that moment. Right. So I had already, that was for me, bottom. I know parents make mistakes. I'm not a perfect person and I've apologized to her about it a gazillion times. So I wasn't like, parents don't make mistakes, but to maybe have a hand in something that could kill him was like rattled my world. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me losing my temper and calling him a piece of shit or whatever. Although I've never done that, but maybe
on stage.
Yeah. We get a lot out on stage, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me a couple of weeks ago, oh, I'd love to punch you in the fucking face right now. We get a lot out, man. And it's so healthy. We're so very honest with each other and we say shit and then it goes. But to possibly have a hand in something that could kill him,
mm-hmm,
because of him watching me or, mm-hmm, trying to emulate me was a different level than making a mistake. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to therapy and talking to people like Steven was amazing. Really helped. And talking to him, honestly, he was like, dude, I want you to know, he told both Beth and I, this has nothing to do with either one of you. You could not have been more vocal about how bad cocaine is. And I tried it and that was it for me. Yo, I've tried it. That wasn't it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, you have nothing. So him letting me off the hook helped. But like, it was a real rough 5 or 6 months for sure. You know?
And you said he's still a little angry that you guys put him in there. Now, could you visit him while you're in there?
Yeah, I came down.
You did?
I came down.
That's allowed, like visits, yeah, are allowed.
He was mad because in our relationship, me and him and Beth have always talked. And it's always been a conversation. And he was like, it wasn't a conversation. You said to me, and we brought him over to the house under false pretense. And I said, dude, I got a plane ticket. Let's go to the airport. We'll go right now. I've seen Intervention. I know how that shit goes. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I just wish I could have gone back to the house for a day. I'm like, to do what? More coke? Mm-hmm. Like, why am I letting you go back to the fucking house? But he was mad that I felt like, he felt like that Beth and I didn't give him a say in it. But I don't think he deserved a say. And we will disagree about this until the day he dies, I'm sure.
Maybe not. Maybe when he's 45, he fucking, or a dad himself, it might go through something. It might hit him where like, oh, I understand now. You know?
I did tell him, though. I said, look, dude, and this is just almost exactly what we were talking about. I said, when you're a parent, you'll understand you're making decisions you're flying at the seat of your pants, and you're just making decisions for what you think is best for your kid. And fuck everything else.
If you're a good parent, you're doing the best you can.
Right.
Yeah.
But your mom would have been like, where are you getting the coke?
My mom would have been like, I got some for it.
You're paying too much for your drugs.
So now, how soon do you allow him to go back on the road with you then after he gets out?
He had to. So I told him, mm-hmm. we have gigs. Let's talk after the 90 days.
Because you said if he doesn't stay, he doesn't get to go back.
So I had told him, I go, let's talk after the 90 days and see if you're ready. But minimum 90 days.
Is that he was supposed to be in the facility for 90 days? 3 yeah. months. Okay.
Minimum 90 days. And then if they're like, yeah, he's okay. If the guy even said, he was like, it might be a good idea for him to start doing some gigs and start getting regular, you know? And so... But I told him, I go, well, you have to, no gigs, you have to at least ride out how long you were supposed to be in rehab. And so he had to drive, he did Uber Eats and did all, you know, 12 hours a day in the car and all that shit. And he's always, dude, all my kids have always worked. I've never handed them
He's doing 20-hour days. I don't know how the fuck he's doing it, man. He's doing Uber Eats. He's got 6 jobs right now. Kid's working 20 hours. He's busted his ass.
But at least he's not doing coke.
I can't figure out where he's getting all this energy, man. Oh, to be young again.
And those allergies are bad.
Yeah, I mean, man. I didn't know Vegas had a pollen problem, man. It's desert, you know what I'm saying?
Woo! Yeah. Dude, he's running to the house and back to the car. They say he's the fastest delivery driver they ever had.
He's lost 20 pounds. I can't figure it out.
Oh, shit. Dude, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But listen, man, to his credit, sober. And to his credit, like, in the circles in Vegas with some of the comics that he was doing coke with, he doesn't go do those mics with those people anymore.
Do you know those people?
Yes.
I mean, can you step in and be the fucking old dad that says, guys, don't fucking give my kid coke?
Yes.
Or is that?
No, it was a very clear message. Mm-hmm. It was a very clear message afterwards. But like, still. A drug dealer is not going to be like, well, your dad told me not to sell this to you. Mm-hmm. So that's not how they operate, I don't think. They're like, yeah, fuck your dad. Let's do some coke. And, dude, it's very, I'm sure, if he goes out with them and why he's not doing it, probably very tempting to think, I can do a bump. One bump.
A bump, a sip, a puff, yeah.
But one thing he would say is, and the reason he can't drink is because one tequila leads to coke. I never had that problem. I'm never much of a drinker anyways. But I tried coke. Trust me, I hung out with Joey. And I tried it a bunch. I can remember 2 times I had a good time. And everything else, I'm like, it would make me sit in the corner and shut up. And I was like, these people all look like they're having fun.
That's the opposite of what coke does.
Not me. I shut up. I didn't talk. All it made me do was made me want to tell people to stop talking and put more drugs on the table. And that wasn't fun, man. That's why the mushrooms and the weed and the acid and the ecstasy, and the, I added one.
Please add. And the ketamine, occasional ketamine.
And the ketamine, all that shit, dude. I like that stuff. But it really made, like, I've scaled so far back. The mushrooms is the one thing on Friday nights. And I was talking to him about it. I'm like, I don't know if I can do these shows anymore with you. And he was like, why not? And I said, because, dude, I can't be out here doing drugs publicly with my son who just got out of. And he was like, well, I'm not doing the drugs. I said, yeah, but it looks so irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, fuck those people. It's up to me. Whether you do mushrooms or not, if I want to do coke, I did it for 2 years without you knowing. I could go get it right now. You doing mushrooms has nothing to do with me doing coke. And he said, and you like it, dude. He was like, I don't want to take that from you. You like doing it. Don't let this. He's like, you got to push this guilt aside.
But outside of tequila, that none of these things are a gateway for him to want to do coke?
Alcohol. Alcohol makes him want to do coke, as far as I know. And weed and Uber driving.
Yeah, no, all of it.
Yeah. No, as far as I know, no, dude. Beth and so I.
Have you done a show together yet since, or has that not happened yet? You have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was the first one you did together when he, after Sober Living?
Well, we went to Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, to do. He went with you for those shows. Yeah. Okay.
Because I also, easy to just, again, one room. You know, and he's pretty fresh out of the house then. So it was a good place for me to be able to extend kind of a watchful eye for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, man, he was so, I could notice a difference, not coke Jacob. And he refers to cocaine Jacob as a different human.
What was different now looking back?
His focus, honestly, dude, like compassion and empathy, all that shit had kind of gone off. Also, his hands were so sweaty and cold. He stopped shaking my hand. He would just fist bump me.
And it splash.
I was like, what's with the fucking. Yeah, dude. I was like, what's with the cold, clammy hands, bro?
Are you shadow boxing over there in the corner for an hour before we touch up here? What's up?
I was like, why is this so cold and clammy? But. Yeah, it was like back to him, and the mood wasn't as up and down. But sober him, and he did say, he was like, you know, I would, on my Monday nights, I do a residency in Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. He was like, every Monday I was high on coke on stage.
Oh, he would do, he'd be performing with you on those as well?
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell?
No.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And that's the thing, dude. I think I was blind to it a little bit. I think because he's my son. So the last thing I would think, because I would say to him, I remember saying to him, you're not doing coke, right? He's like, nah, don't believe what that dude just said. Yeah. The long haired. He's talking about some other performer.
Another Jacob.
Yeah. Some other dude who just walked out.
It's just
stage.
The two of us.
Yeah. So I think he's honestly, dude, he's refocused in a good way. He's so good on our podcast. Mm-hmm. He's so fucking funny now.
Yeah, he was great. The producer was a problem, but he was great. He was fucking great.
Dude, she...
Wait, I want to stay on track. I want to stay on track because we could go off the rails. I want to know, how about with Beth? Like, how did she take all of this? And did she get upset with you that you take them out on the road, or did it cause any problems? Like, what happened on her side of things?
She felt the same thing I felt. Not that she did drugs.
She didn't notice it either, though. No, she didn't. She never once came to you, like, I think, or never.
Well, to be fair, she didn't. She wasn't spending the FaceTime with him that I was, you know, and she felt equally responsible just for different reasons. The one thing that she and I had multiple serious conversations about was just that. She was like, you cannot do drugs anymore. You cannot do drugs around him. You can't do drugs on camera. You can't do that mushroom show. That's done for you. And for 90 days, I was like, I agree. And then I was just like, but why? This, the more I talked to people, they were like, it doesn't matter. You could be sober for the rest of your life. If he wants to go get coke, he's going to go get coke. Mm-hmm. You being smoking weed is going to have nothing to do with it. I had to hear that from so many different people in the sober world that they were like, it's a nice gesture. It's very nice, but it has nothing to do with whether he's going to be sober or not. So that was something she and I did not see eye to eye on that for. And I think she had to hear it from more people. And she had to hear it from me when I was on mushrooms. I was like, hey,
she's like, listen, fuck face.
But it was like a life changing. I'm a better person. I'm more clear-headed. I'm not doing drugs the way I was. Going sober for 90 days made me realize the amount of weed I was smoking and the amount of edibles I was taking.
So let me ask you it this way. You're smoking weed, you're taking edibles. What's a day for you? You're smoking weed and taking edibles at the same time, same day, or these?
I always fooled myself and was like, well, I'm not taking edibles till after 7, or smoking weed till after 7 p.m. But after 7 p.m., dude, I'm not Joey Diaz, but you know, 250 milligrams and two joints isn't like a little.
Mm-mm.
But
that's nightly.
Yeah.
Whoo. 250 milligrams plus the joints.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. And then on Friday you throw shrooms on top of that.
That's right.
Oh my God.
That's right, dude. That's right. That's right.
Holy shit.
But performing on that much weed. Yeah, that was not even like
Friday night show, Josh Wolf, when I get there and I sit in a seat and I'm looking up at Josh Wolf, he's already had at least two joints, 250 milligrams of edibles, and how many shrooms?
The Friday night show, I'm probably smoking
3.5 grams. That's an eight.
3.5 grams, 3.5 grams for the late show. The Friday show, I'm probably just smoking one joint.
Oh, that's responsible.
Yeah.
I'm cutting it in half. I'm down 50%. Get off my back.
Yeah.
I wanted to be responsible for the first show.
Yeah, it was just to take the edge off.
But man, I can't. I know me. I could not stay focused enough to have that show and perform. I know.
I found out, dude, that I had for many years, a strong dislike of myself. And all that weed was covering up. It just made me not feel. And I stopped.
Really? It's interesting because weed makes me feel so much.
It made me not feel, dude. Can I tell you, a week after.
Like when bad shit goes down, I can't smoke it like I normally smoke it because all it does is make me feel. Dude. Really?
A week after. It had come out of my system. This is no joke. For 7 nights in a row in my dreams, I woke up weeping, dude. Just like, God, just weeping. 20 years of emotions was just pouring out of me in my dreams. And I had a real, struggle with who I thought, if I thought I had been authentically me, mm-hmm. and who I was, who I had portrayed myself to be through my comedy or just out, dude who's always happy all the time, that person doesn't exist. And so if you see that person who's always happy all the time, he's miserable.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
He's miserable.
I mean, comedians, you see us laughing clowns all the time. Yep. This is an hour. Mm-hmm. There's 23 of these motherfuckers. Yeah, more of these in the day. Yeah.
But so I had to do some real work, man. You know, I had never, maybe I'd always poo-pooed therapy. I spoke to this woman who was like, you know, she kept talking about little Josh. You got to do some work on little Josh. You got to get in there in your brain and tell him whatever he needs to hear, because he's hurting. This is all. Your strong dislike for yourself is not just from right now. It started way back. Mm-hmm. And so I had to do some real work, man. And at the end of the work, I didn't have the desire to be high all the time. I just didn't. When I look at a joint now, it used to just be, I'm smoking that whole fucking thing mm-hmm. right now. And it doesn't happen. And I do like, I feel things in a way that I had forgotten how to do. It has made me way better as a person. I honestly don't know if it's made me better as an artist, because in my mind,
well, that's not the top priority anyway. Yeah,
no, but for a long time I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally understand that. I mean, it's your job, it's your career, it's all that.
But dude, the thing about our job, which is different than other people's jobs, is our job is us. Mm-hmm. Your job is Ryan Sickler, which is inherently selfish. So so you get that wrapped up into what's important. No
doubt. I mean, I've say it all the time. Anyone that sets out to go chase a dream is doing a selfish thing. It, just mm-hmm. by definition, it's yourself. You're leaving everything behind and you're going out to do this thing. And then once you start doing that thing, and then hopefully you get a little bit of success, you want more. So that's selfish. But now you've got a family, so you got to help everybody else with it while you're doing this selfish thing. So now it's time to be unselfish. And it's a wild thing to fucking learn.
Beth would say all the time, especially if I was on the road for extended period, when you come home, I don't work for you. Mm-hmm. I know out there you make every decision on your own without anybody else's input. That is not how shit goes here. Mm-hmm. There's a house full of people. You don't get to just get up and go or make decisions or tell me I'm not working the green room. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that was like, in our job also, what makes it more selfish is that, and personal, because your job is Ryan Sickler, the work you do is personal. Mm-hmm. So when it's rejected, it's not just rejected professionally, it's rejected. It's, you feel it personally because you're like, oh, wait a second. I'm authentically me and they didn't like that. That is a fucking difficult pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons I think artists put up masks for a long time. The fear is to be authentic and to fail means that is so fucking personal. But because I had lied, I think, to myself for so many years about being authentic, mm-hmm. I hated myself for it.
And you're better now? You feel good now?
Yeah, dude.
You feel good with Jacob, where you guys are, and you and Beth?
Let me tell you something. This is, I know, a little thing, but for so long, dude, I colored my beard. I was so worried about what other people thought. This is as gray as, now this, it's so funny that the mustache hasn't gone gray.
I know. Look at mine too. Like, it's weird. It's like,
yeah,
it looks like almost like a dye of Fu Manchu.
yeah. Underneath.
I'm just letting it go.
Yeah.
But I dyed my hair for a long time too. Now, it wasn't because I hated myself. It was that I hated the way I looked, because the way I started to go gray was just the sides.
Richards?
Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos. And I was like, oh, we can't be rocking this. And this was dark. My eyebrows are still dark.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, it's not just for men, that shit. And then I would always get a buzz. So I'm like, as soon as it starts to even out, and as soon as it did, I was like, now we're just letting it go.
Dude, Dude, this was a big, I just got back from Greece. This was a big vacation for me. No hat the entire vacation.
Yeah. That, you still have good. It's surprising to me too, because you're how old now?
55.
You got a full head of hair. Yeah. You got good hair, but you cover it the fuck up. And yeah. You're lucky you have it because you cover it up.
Yeah dude. I but it's been something whenever I would look in the mirror and
like
see
you take
this,
it off, you see like Dwight Yoakam. First time I saw that motherfucker without his hat, I was like, oh, hell no, it's all.
Yeah.
What? It's his hair right here.
No. No, for me, I can't stop. You know, we all have our things. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop looking at my forehead. And I was like, fuck this. And I would just be so self-conscious. But I'm at a, I told Beth, I was like, I'm going to ease into the no hat professionally. Tonight, if I hadn't just hopped off a plane, this would have been it's kind of fucked up right now, but
it's been under a fucking hat.
Yeah. And it's greasy as fuck right now, but
it's a lot of it.
Yeah, dude, but look at that forehead. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom used to tell me,
what?
That means you got a lot of brains. And I was like, oh, that means I got a big forehead.
That means my mom agrees.
But all of that stuff, dude, is how I can tell that when Beth used to post pictures, I'd be like, color in my beard. And now I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I just want to be with you. And I want to be having fun. And so these are little things that don't seem like the beard to other people doesn't seem like a big deal. It's part of the mask that I always wore. Mm. And so to slowly be able to take off the mask and just has felt amazing. Amazing, amazing.
Well, I'm happy for you, brother. Thanks, you for doing this. I know that wasn't easy to come on and talk about.
No, man, it's but like I said, it was one of the most challenging things that I've ever, especially as a parent, but it really has led to me waking up emotionally and in life.
Good.
In a way that I don't think I would have. So.
Brother, thank you as always.
Thank you, dude.
Right there. Promote everything you'd like again, please.
Watch my special on my YouTube channel. It's called The Campfire Special. It is honestly, and the song, I know when people hear songs, I'm not Sandler. I'm not Weird Al. Those guys are actually good musicians. People ask me all the time, why don't you plug your guitar in? Because when you plug it in, I find you can really hear what it sounds like. So I just play it next to the microphone.
Yeah.
But some of my songs are only 17 seconds long. I use them for punchlines. One thing, it's been a different type of writing for me. Some of my songs, if I hit a punchline that I can't beat, the song is over. I'm not a folk singer.
It's a jingle.
I'm writing jokes. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something else, it's done. It's like, you know, like cartoons, animated, they can get away with saying whatever they want. I find the jokes that I write in the songs are so much edgier. My songs push the envelope so much more than my stories that I fucking love it. Like some of them are really, there's a couple, like I wrote a couple Michael J. Fox jokes in a song that I wouldn't have put in a story, but in the song, dude. So the Campfire Special, it's got two of my favorite stories also that I've ever told. One about waiting out overnight for a concert for the first time when mm-hmm. I was 16.
Yeah.
And one about my older brother who used to fart in my mouth. Dude, that story, one of my favorites. But the songs are amazing. ComedianJoshWolf.com for tour dates. And the Hey Man podcast, which is turning into Generation Wolf that I do with Jacob. We'll have you back.
I'd love to come back. Yeah. I'd love to go through my whole entire childhood trauma again for two fucking straight hours. No problem, man. That'd be great.
But it was amazing doing it. I thank you so much for always having me on, man.
Of course.
I love coming in here and talking
to you.
Thank you
for doing it.
Yeah, dude.
The Campfire Special. Go watch it on Josh Wolf's YouTube. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Moro! Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.